You are about to hear the Travel World Radio Show. Travel World is a one-hour travel magazine. We send satellite automation tones for your convenience. And now, a few words about our show timing. The show itself begins at 5 minutes past the hour. This break is for local news, weather, and sports as provided by you, our affiliate radio stations. The show is broken up into four parts. There are three commercial breaks between these parts. Each break is 4 minutes long, and they air at 15 minutes past the hour, 30 minutes past the hour, and 45 minutes past the hour. The show ends at 59 minutes and 30 seconds past the hour. The last 30 seconds are for local station identification. Travel World is produced in Montreal. If you wish to run Travel World on your station, please contact Willem Backus at 514-861-3488. That's 514-861-3488. Travel World is licensed on a bartered basis, provided that the show is aired intact and that the first 2 minutes of each break are aired as is, without change. You may replace the second 2 minutes of each break with your own local ads. We do require that you inform us that you did run the show and when. We accept standard syndication affidavits. You may rebroadcast the show as many times as you wish, and you may distribute it freely, provided that it is aired intact. You may not cut out segments of the show without our prior written permission. Please see our website, www.twc.ca, for more information.
Take your dream trip.
Come along with us as we travel the world.
Across America via satellite.
Your listeners will love the Travel World Radio Show. It's a one-hour travel talk show.
This is Willem Backus.
Stephen Pickford.
Bob Giacini.
Scott Fontaine.
Ella Sobel.
David Eady.
Travel World is informative.
Oh, yeah.
This is for the people who want to have the times of their lives.
A hukilau, she explained, was a traditional Hawaiian way of putting food on the table and making sure that everyone had enough to eat.
This is the old path of the West River Railroad.
Fine food service, comfortable seats with adjustable headrest, the individual entertainment systems. They also have a camera where you can get a bird's eye view of the plane taking off and landing.
Our transport around the city centre is wonderful. We have the Metrolink, we have a free bus service, but most importantly is the fact that the city is really, really compact.
Many of Wailea's beachfront hotels offer great freebies to their guests, too.
It's a high-speed quad share lift.
It's great. I love listening to you guys talk about this because it brings up so many great ideas, both sure. Memories and things that everybody would like to do in the future. Grab a plane out of here and go see something different.
This is the western region of Montana.
This is the Glacier National Park region.
Two stingrays hovered over our heads for several minutes.
11 countries in 33 days.
Cool remotes.
Live from Auberge de la Falaise, up in the beautiful Lanaudière region of Quebec.
Town of Jamaica, Vermont. We said we wanted to go to Jamaica. They sent us to Vermont.
Caesar's Pocono Palace Resort, Pocono Mountains of Northeast Pennsylvania, or
Northeast Kingdom, and I'm here at the Inn on the Common with one of our longtime friends of the show, Jim Lamberti.
Having a great time sitting here at the Ocean Place Resort.
We're in Essex Junction, Vermont, at the Champlain Valley Fair.
For the Great Eagle Hotel in Kowloon.
Inn at Essex, in Essex Junction, Vermont. Penny House Inn on Cape Cod in Easton, Mass.
Lake George, New York, at Fort Wayne Resort.
Carefree Resort and Village in beautiful Carefree, Arizona.
Legendary Mr. Steer Steerburger Restaurant downtown Montreal.
The Biloxi Tricentennial.
York Region, just north of Toronto.
Good morning, Willem.
Great guest.
Mike Maxfield is the museum manager of the Manchester United Football Club Museum Hall of Fame at the Old Trafford Stadium. A must-see for any visitor to Manchester.
Lauren Demaret joining us online.
Hi, this is Gerald Trombley, Mayor of Montreal.
Francine Barbati from Super Clubs and Denny Coderre of Air Canada Vacation.
Hi, this is Hudson Foga.
We have the Minister of Tourism, Culture and Recreation.
The Honorable Paul Shelley, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
And best of all, it's fun.
I end up in a nude volleyball game.
You guys are insane.
This is where you want to go for a steak.
Can you believe these guys?
I just wanted to know if it was the largest and finest cut.
So you have to be careful when you're jumping around with nothing on.
So join us, won't you, every Saturday on Star Guide 3.
This is the Travel World Radio Network.
Montreal, Canada. It's the Travel World Radio Show, across America via satellite.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show, across America via satellite and around the world by way of the internet. I'm Willem Back. It's in studio with Stephen Pickford.
Welcome to Travel World, everyone.
So, Steve, we have another amazing show lined up for us, and I use that word on purpose because 1 month ago, we had a fine guest, the amazing Kreskin, and he made a prediction that he'd be on our show in a month.
And that prediction has come true. Welcome to Travel World once again, sir.
Steven and William, it's great to talk to you. I'm just thinking, did I make a bet on that? I'm going to see if there's a check in the mail. I'm only joking, gentlemen. It is good to talk to you folks again, and it's always nice to do a live broadcast because you know I learned from the early days of my career and television. There really was the great thing about something that's live is there's no turning back. You just have to move with it, whatever happens. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's very the fun of so. Live radio. Yes,
that's like. You know, by the way, I was listening to some of the commercial feeds and about the programs and the areas, and I kept hearing cities that I've been in. I just heard mentioned something. I guess you folks had done something in regard to the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. And
oh, definitely.
I think I've appeared there probably. I would say probably 400 or 500 or 600 times, believe it or not. There are more resorts and in fact early in my career, every weekend I trudged out to the Poconos and worked at a place called Split Rock Lodge. So I have a tremendous memory of that area. And I was just in Vermont just a few weeks ago. And I gotta tell you something, you'll get a kick out of because it has a dramatic ending, and since I spent a lot of time in airplanes, this has kind of a, I think it has, and I was coming back from, I was working in Sacramento, California at a nightclub, but I was appearing on a television show in Los Angeles, and we're flying back, and it's about a 40-minute, maybe 50-minute flight. Taking longer, and an hour has gone by, an hour and 20 minutes have gone by. I thought, well, gee, you know, things can happen when you're traveling all the time, and you just have to adjust to it. And I called, and I said, sat by me quietly and said, you know, Mr. Kreskin, we're having trouble with gears, so we're going to we're just circling and going over some distance until we get them down. Now almost an hour and 50 minutes goes by, and I said, "Is everything all right?" She said, "You know, I think everything's happening but it could happen to me as I travel." I'm saying this to her. She said, "Well, you know, we can't get the landing gears down, but we're going to foam the airport strip." And I could hear some tension on the plane. Nobody said anything. The passengers didn't know, but the passengers were starting to get concerned. And I decided I needed to go to the men's room. So I got up, and instead of walking to the men's room right in front of me, I went from the first class area, went into the coach area, and walked all the way to the back, and went there just to get some exercise, came back to the front and sat down. And now over 2 hours go by, and they're announcing that we have to, nobody knows really what's wrong, but some people are getting very upset because they didn't know what was happening. And as we're slowly about to land, I hear this loud noise, and lo and behold, as we're coming down the landing gear, finally unlocked, and we land. Now we land and we taxi, and I'm about the first person off aside from the pilots. And as I get off the plane, this is a true story, as I get off the plane, I'm walking down the steps, and at the bottom of the steps are two of the three pilots and one of the stewardesses. And I got to the bottom, and I said, oh, my God, I'm so glad everything worked out, because the airfield had been foamed and what have you. And the pilot said to me, thank you, Mr. Kreskin. I said, what do you mean I'm thanking you folks? No, they said, we want to thank you. I said, what do you mean? They said, Kreskin, didn't you get up and walk through the plane to go to the men's room? I said, yes, I did. They said, we want you to know that most of the people on the plane recognized you. They were all frightened and tense, and a feeling of peacefulness started to go through the plane. I said, what do you mean? They said, we figured out that they thought if anything really serious was going to happen, Kreskin would have foreseen and stayed off the plane, so everybody became calm and at ease. Isn't that a great story?
I love
Very
it.
Much so, yes, yes.
I swear to God, it's a true story. I'm not going to mention the airline. I mean, I traveled a few thousands of miles with them, but I got just a kick out of that.
I can certainly understand it, too. I mean, if anybody's
well,
going to
Well, no, no, no. Wait a minute, guys. Don't rely on me. But and these people are. And by the way, all of you listening in, this is really. I don't think there's any safer time to fly because the equipment, the skills of the pilots and the everything that's at their fingertips today is something that you know didn't exist years ago. But every once in a while, maybe a kook gets on the plane, and then yours truly gets on, and people do seem a little bit at ease.
Well, for sure. You know, I can understand it, too. I mean, you'd always give me a good feeling of reassurance every time, so.
Well, I have to say this. My entire life, of course, as people know, deal with reading people's thoughts, and I think that's how I've been able to make some dramatic predictions through the years. Since you last spoke to me, both of you, we had a very dramatic thing on Fox Television here in the States because I was asked, and 3 days before the game, I was asked to attempt to predict the Super Bowl, which, as you folks probably know, is the biggest gambled game in all the games that take place in the United States. I'm sure there are games in Canada that people bet on and what have you. But I have a stack of papers that shows the things that people bet on during the Super Bowl, not just who's going to win, but the craziest things is how long the commercial's going to last. If someone's going to I don't know if you heard about it, but I guess in Vegas you can bet on anything. So I came on the air, and the network agreed with me that I would not make public what I was betting. And the real reason is, God forbid, if I were not correct or what have you, or way off, a lot of people hearing what I'm betting would probably bet thousands of dollars, and I just don't want them losing money on my account because, God forbid, if I failed, at least I would know folks that Stefan and Willem would be attending my funeral and saying something nice and saying, isn't it a shame that 8,000 people murdered Kreskin right after the Super Bowl? I'm only joking. But anyway, so the bottom line is the prediction was open the day after the Super Bowl, and those folks who did not see it, it was the Ravens and the 49ers that played, and the Ravens won. Well, I predicted that the Ravens would win. I also attempted to do something I've never done before in my career. I attempted to predict the score. I said that the 49ers, the team that lost, would have a score of 29. I was wrong there. The score was 31. They had, in the last few minutes, gained two more points. And I predicted that the winners, the Ravens, would have a score of 34. And thank goodness they won, and the score they had was 34. So it was really, kind of is an exciting thing. But never will I make my prediction ahead of time. Can you imagine if people bet on my prediction on the losing team? I would have been in trouble, or they would have been in trouble.
Well, they definitely, if you have that kind of an influence where people look up to you, it's definitely some kind of a responsibility for that, one way or the other. We are coming up, sadly, towards the end of our segment. We enjoy having you on. And
you want me to wait around for a few minutes, or you probably have something on the schedule?
We actually do have another guest, and we would have loved to have had you on for another thing. Your publicist said, no, he just wants to be on 10 minutes now, so we wanted to respect your time.
No, but I know you got another guest, but if you decide to change your mind, you can always get back to me, because I didn't realize, because we spent 2 segments last time, and I love talking to you folks.
We love talking to you, too.
I have to tell you that when I'm sometimes when I'm in Canada and if I'm in your area when you're doing the program, if I'm working in your area for a few days, I'll try to come on live with you folks. And I want to warn all the listeners, I'll come on live and attempt to read the thoughts of both these guys. And can you imagine doing that, folks? We may be in trouble.
Oh, yeah. What's in our minds? Oh, boy, you don't want to know.
But listen, I want to tell you, I wish you both continued success. You're a joy to know and a joy to work with. And again, I just want to say this to, in the spirit of broadcasting, I'm not going to say goodbye to both of you. I always say this. Just let's say to be continued, and we'll talk soon again, okay?
Thank you so much for joining us on Travel World. The amazing Kreskin on the Travel World Radio Show. Thank you for
joining
us.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Take care.
1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
At Porter, we believe that traveling for business shouldn't be hard work. Flying into or out of Toronto City Airport, you're just minutes from downtown, saving on time-consuming commutes. Fly through our hassle-free check-in. Send that last-minute email using the free Wi-Fi in our luxurious lounge. And enjoy first-class onboard service as standard. That way, when you touch down, you're ready to take care of business.
Take your dream trip aboard Via Rail's Transcontinental, Toronto to Vancouver. Ride Via Rail Canada's train number one, the Canadian. See the beauty of the Canadian Shield in silver and blue. Explore the famous park car in the Bullet Lounge. Enjoy 360-degree visibility in the scenic dome. See the great forests and wildlife as you pass by. Experience Via's superb dining as you take in the view. Enjoy fun activities in the Skyline car and sleep in the comfort and privacy of your own bedroom. Experience true luxury on rails. See the prairies and take in the majestic Rocky Mountains. You'll ride in relaxed comfort, just like the golden age of rail. Via Rails Canadian, the train of dreams. Take your dream trip today. Via Rail Canada. People moving people. Visit us at viarail.ca.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. The boat's a little beat up, but we're okay, thanks to the Coast Guard.
I am the port in the storm.
The slick is contained.
Roger that.
I am the line in the sand.
I got you. Hang on.
Okay, take us up.
I am the rescuer in the dark.
Looks like we've got about 80 kilos here, Captain.
That's 80 kilos off the streets.
I am the enforcer of the seas.
I'm in container 38. Everything is secure.
I'm the defender of the homeland.
In the United States Coast Guard, you are the first line of defense against threats to our American way of life. To become one of us, call toll-free 1-877-NOW-USCG or visit GoCoastGuard.com.
We are the shield of freedom. We are the United States Coast Guard.
The United States Coast Guard and Coast Guard Reserve, the shield of freedom.
Sponsored by the U.S. Coast Guard in cooperation with the Connecticut Broadcasters Association and this station.
Dancing. Learn to dance at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio. Dancing is fun, it's great exercise, and it builds confidence. And it sure beats aerobics. Dancing feels great, and you'll look great. You can go alone or with a partner. At Arthur Murray, their instructors are friendly, professional, and you'll learn at your own pace. Arthur Murray teaches ballroom, Latin, and popular new dance styles, like the merengue, cha-cha, tango, waltz, rock and roll, the hustle, swing, and more. Don't worry if you have two left feet, because everybody starts somewhere. And before long, you'll be amazed at your progress. At Arthur Murray, your program will include one-on-one lessons, group lessons, and practice sessions. Plus, you can practice in their studio anytime at no additional cost. They're open at hours that are convenient to you, weekdays from 1 to 11 p.m., and on Saturdays by appointment. You'll look great and you'll feel better. Call Arthur Murray today and get ready to dance. Call today, because your first lesson is free. Arthur Murray Dance Studio, Brunswick Boulevard, near Sources Road in Dollard. Telephone 421-9710. That's 421-9710.
Travel and Lifestyles Programming. This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome. Welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite and around the world via the internet. This is Will and Back is in studio with Stephen Pickford.
Glad to be here.
Well, Steve, we got a very special guest online. Now, as you know, one of the things I used to always love to do when I was younger, I would go camping with my family. You know, we'd stay in our trailer. It was a 1966 Corsair. And I mentioned that also for the benefit of our guest. On the line, we have Phil Noyce, who's the author of the book Trailerama. And it's all about travel trailers, a nostalgic look at that. Phil, welcome to Travel World.
Thank you for having me.
So, Phil, I looked at this book of yours, and it was so incredibly nice, and it brought back so many great memories of days gone by. Tell us what originally inspired you to create. Now, I understand that this was the second book in the series that I actually saw.
Yeah, you know, I produced a television series for PBS Television here in California for many years called California's Gold, and it was about California history. And I heard about this gentleman named David Woodworth, and I heard he had the preeminent collection of pre-Second World War camping trailers and camp cars, which meant absolutely nothing to me. So I kind of ignored it. But people kept telling me about him, and finally I took a trip to see him. And he truly had the most extraordinary collection of vehicles that I just never even imagined existed. And he had a 1936 newsreel that said, you know, 250,000 trailerites are traveling the roads of America. And I thought, wow, I had no idea. You know, it ends up the 30s were really the golden age of the travel trailer in America. And so I went home and set out to do a national PBS documentary, which I did. And through that came my first book called Trailer Travel, A Visual History of Mobile America, which was sort of similar in scope to Trailerama. And I just started collecting, and I started meeting all these wonderful people that are part of this subculture that had incredible collections of ephemera. And first book came out in 2002, and 10 years later, it's time to do another one, and my publisher agreed. And again, I went back to all my friends and to museums and libraries and archives throraughout the United States and culled their collections for really the best of the best of anything having to do with the travel trailer up until about 1960.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of why I didn't see mine, because I remember growing up. Two that I grew up in, the very first one, it was a 1962 Pyramid. And then the next one that we went into was a 1966 Corsair. Now, that one was a 21-footer, and it was pretty well the same shape you described, because it was the easy one to build, where the sides were flat and the other one was just wrapped around, you know, kind of a curvy shape. And the Corsair was one for years and years. You know, we would go to the campgrounds and stuff, and finally a friend of us said, you know, I got a piece of land. If you want to come visit me on a regular basis, leave your trailer here. And we used to go there all the time, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, I think it's as popular now as it ever was. It's a way for us to, you know, see wherever it is we are, whether in America or Canada or Europe. You know, caravanning had a similar golden age in the 30s in Europe. And, you know, and now, it never really went away. And, you know, there's billions and billions of dollars spent every year on motorhomes and trailers and campers. And it's one of the few times I think families get together and, you know, hopefully unplug a little bit, especially in this day and age when everybody's stuck in front of a screen. It allows us to get out and to park someplace beautiful and to hopefully enjoy not only our surroundings, but our loved ones and, you know, have a little time away, but yet, you know, kind of have the comforts of home. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it's also something about the different kinds of power available and the propane lanterns. And I know for me, there was very little more comforting than the sound of you sitting around. They have that, you know, in the front of some of these trailers, they would have the seating opposite on the sides and the table that would come out. And we had this little propane lantern that would come out, you know, with the one mantle. And there was that soft hiss and the warm glow. You'd just sit there and that would just be so relaxing for a weekend.
Yeah, we still talk about that. You know, it's a term that we bandy around a lot. It's called the glow.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that light that emanates from a trailer at night. And there's nothing like a propane lantern bouncing off the honey-colored walls especially of a vintage trailer. It's a light that you can't really describe until you see it. And I completely agree with you about that sound. There's nothing like that sound of a propane lantern. It's kind of a dull roar, and it's really comforting. I have, and my kids have fallen asleep to that many, many times.
Well, you know, it evokes, like, for, you know, we live in such busy times, and almost everybody feels that their time is a busy one. But even now, you feel like you're at a busy time, and you get into one of these trailers, and it just feels so relaxing. People joke because oftentimes I'm going to go to the supermarket, and I'll buy what I call the junk food reading, little tabloids and easy reading stuff. You want to find out what Elvis was found with two heads and aliens dropped down. But, you know, it's the kind of stuff you read for fun while you're traveling, and the trailer is one of those things that just makes it so, it lends itself to that kind of, it's time to just let your hair down, relax, be yourself for a little while, and you can get back to the serious world a little later, take a little bit of a breather.
Sure.
So that's the thing that I like about that. One of the other things I liked about your book is the way it showcases the different models. Now, what I would love to see, like in a third book, is, a bit more of a coverage of all the different models, because, everybody wants to go there. It's mine in here, too. Tell me the history of that.
Yeah.
So, that's just me with my little not-so-subtle hint.
Well, I think, I get that, and the problem, let me put it in perspective for you. In 1936, there were 250 manufacturers of trailers in America. In 1950, there were over 500 manufacturers. So it's really difficult to do what you're asking, although, I get it. And a lot of people, they'll say, why didn't you put my Cardinal in your trailer? And why didn't you put my Oasis in your trailer? Well, you do the best you can, and I think what we tried to do, certainly what I tried to do in this book is, I tried to do a section on the canned ham trailers. Yeah. I tried to do a section on what we call the bread loaf trailers. Mm-hmm. I tried to at least sort of give a good overview of the different types of trailers that were built. But as far as doing individual, if you look, in the beginning of the book, there's a section called badges, and it's a series of photographs of badges of different trailers.
Yeah.
I will tell you that when I finished the book, for reasons that we don't need to go into, the publisher, we had to cut 60 pages out of my book. And it's already, I think there's something like 100 badges on there. I think I cut another 100 out. So that should give you some sense of all the different manufacturers that there have been over the years.
Those are the hardest cuts to make, too, because you got your heart and soul poured into this kind of thing.
It's horrible.
But, it's one of these things that you can even support it with a website. And say if you want greater information.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud because, it's one of these subject matters that I find so incredibly interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And I think the theme, my takeaway from this particular book is it's not so much to be a comprehensive history of the travel trailer so much as it's meant to take you back in time and to give you the feeling of what it was like to just enjoy your time away in one of these things, what it might have been like. And that's how it always made me feel warm. It's like seeing a picture of a campground or the forest or something, how it makes you just feel good.
Yeah, I think I tried to be really clear because, people can be really nasty. When I wrote the first book, they said comments like that. They're like, this isn't a cop. And that was never my, intent. Yeah. And in fact, the very first thing I say in this book is, let me start by saying this book is not a history lesson, nor am I a historian. I mean, that's the first line.
Yeah, I remember reading that, and that's kind of why...
I didn't want to do that. And there are so many other people out there that have written really comprehensive, really interesting books. This is eye candy. That's what this is. This is something you can sit down with. And, if it had been up to me, I would have written nothing. It would have all been photos and ephemera.
Well,
but, we wrote just a little bit to keep people amused. And as you said earlier, you mentioned the website. People should go out and explore. There are so many great websites out there. So many different people that collect have their own websites. The Shasta owners have a site, and the Oasis owners have a site, and there's a Tin Can Tourist, which is an incredible organization that covers all brands, up into the 70s. It's a great club. You can go to their site and get great stuff. So it's all out there. People just have to be willing to poke around a little bit, and they can find pretty much everything they need.
Phil, we got 30 seconds left, so I'm going to give the title of the book is called Trailerama. It's available in all bookstores, I would imagine, And
yeah, and Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And Amazon. Phil Noyce, the author of the book, online with us. Thank you for joining us on the Travel World Radio Show, Phil. I really appreciate your time, and I really, really enjoyed your book. Again, the book is Trailerama, all about the nostalgic look back at the travel trailer era in days when it was just a lot more fun. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, and stay tuned following the break here on the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite.
You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
Vacation time can mean a heart-rending decision. What to do with your pet? Auberge VIP offers a unique concept in boarding facilities designed for the ultimate comfort of your best friends. From the moment of registration, a trained staff member is assigned to provide personalized attention to your pet. A variety of suite sizes are available for our canine guests, designed to provide privacy while cats enjoy a choice of multi-level apartments with a sunny southern exposure. Your pet's personal program can be tailor-made, from special diets to daily grooming and a play and exercise time each day. And it's not just luxury amenities which sets Auberge VIP apart. Auberge VIP provides for a totally enclosed environment, offering safe, sanitary conditions with personnel on duty 24 hours a day and a veterinarian on call. Auberge VIP, we invite you to call us to visit our facility and experience firsthand the care and special attention your pet deserves. Auberge VIP, a comfortable and caring atmosphere for your very important pet. Call today, 381-6653.
DeCapua's Photography. Quality professional photography services for all occasions. Let DeCapua's put their 20 years of industry experience to work for you. Entertainers and models, commercial, industrial, and aerial photography. Portfolios and portraits. People, places, or things, studio or on location. Your satisfaction is the focus at DeCapua's Photography. Stop in at 913 East 2nd Street, Reno, Nevada, or visit our webpage and sample our work at nav.to/DeCapua. That's DeCapua. Call Gary at DeCapua's Photography to plan your special occasion or business photos. 329-8810. 329-8810. Capture that special moment that will last you a lifetime. DeCapua's Photography. 329-8810. You'll like what we see.
You have a name, so the next time you call up one of those mega monster banks about a mortgage, ask them if they remember your name.
Well, give me a minute.
Or maybe ask them what options they have for someone who is self-employed, a commission salesperson, has a unique financial situation, or not so perfect credit.
There might be a special high-risk program. Yeah, just hang on.
Now, call Southern New England Mortgage Group in Plainville and try the same thing.
You know, Jim, I'm glad you called. I'm sure we can help you out.
With 33 years of professional experience, the loan originators at Southern New England Mortgage Group know how to get the job done. Call today, 1-888-835-2780, and get a personalized mortgage solution that meets your needs. Southern New England Mortgage Group can make your dreams a reality. Call 1-888-835-2780. You don't have to put up with the big bank runaround or be treated differently because you're self-employed or have not-so-perfect credit. Call the local guys. Southern New England Mortgage Group, 1-888-835-2780.
I'm here with Fearless Janice, the woman who has devoted her life to trying anything. Now, she's about to prove it to us by eating a cinder block sandwich.
You got it, Dan. I feel it's important to be adventurous.
Janice, is it true that you ate the wheels off a car, drank a quart of milk with your tear duct, and then passed 35 feet of rope through your intestinal tract?
All in the same afternoon, Dan.
Janice, is there anything out there you wouldn't try?
Well, that's a no-brainer. Cigarettes, of course.
You wouldn't try a cigarette? Oh, come on.
No, you come on, Dan. Do you know what's in a cigarette? Nicotine, an addictive drug. I said I was adventurous, not stupid. Just thinking about being addicted gives me an upset stomach.
You'll try a cinder block sandwich, but you won't try a cigarette?
Question, Dan. Have you ever heard of anybody getting hooked on cinder blocks?
Well, that's the word. Apparently, it's safer to try a carburetor milkshake than it is to try smoking. Because the intestinal distress will last only a few days, but smoking can last the rest of your life. A message from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health.
This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite and around the world by internet. I'm Willem Backus in studio with Stephen Bickford. Special guest online with us right now, Stephen.
Yes, Cheryl Nye. She was one of our original guests going back to the days on AM 600, CIQC, the early days of Travel World, the late 90s, 1997 to be precise. And glad she could join us once again on Travel World to let us know what's going on new in her life. Welcome back to Travel World, Cheryl.
Well, hi, Stephen and Willem. Nice to hear from you. How's everything going there?
We're having a great time tonight on Travel World.
It's been a really good show, and we're really especially happy to have you back with us, Cheryl, because you're one of our very, very first guests.
Oh, well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you guys. It always is.
Now, the thing is, you're now back in 1997, when you were first on the show, it was you and your sister, Kathy.
Yes, who
were
that's right.
The Nye Sisters comedy singing duo.
That's right.
Singer and a songwriter, no less, as well. And it's been especially gratifying to see your success over the years.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I have a new CD out, and it's called Eyes of a Stranger. And, of course, I travel a lot for doing that and everything. I recorded it in Nashville, and I'm really happy with it. You can actually see it online at CherylNye.com.
Now, yeah, I've seen, you know, the various cover images and so on, and I think I've heard even a few clips of the songs, too, so that was kind of cool. We were actually looking forward to having you in studio with us because we were hoping to play some of those clips.
Oh, right. Yeah, actually, you can hear everything on CherylNye.com and on ReverbNation.com/CherylNye, too, for all your listeners out there.
Now, Cheryl, tell us, I mean, I wasn't with you in the first time you were on the show. How you got interested in music? You're a native Montrealer as well as Kathy, right?
Oh, yes, that's right.
So that's kind of neat. I like seeing hometown people do good, right?
Yeah.
I'm from the city. And the nice thing is, now, what got you interested in recording in the first place? I mean, music moves all of us at some level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Actually, I started writing when I was about 6 years old. So it's something I always did naturally. I would tinkle on the piano and start, finding melodies and everything. And then by the time I got to high school, I was writing for plays on the guitar and piano. And then I just decided to get my degree in music, and then it kind of went on from there. I started, performing different places and doing TV and everything. It was just like a natural progression. It's something that I never really thought about. It was just, it came naturally to do it.
So you actually have not just the natural ability, but you also have the technical instruction, the education to go along with supporting that. That's an awful lot of musicians out there, they can't even read a note, so it's an important distinction.
It took a couple of years to get my degree, but I was really happy I got it because now I can write out all my music and analyze music more easily that way.
Well, yeah, because you get there are certain technical things that make a song better. I mean, mm-hmm. Case in point, I mean, I've written my share of songs. Now, my share of songs is a grand total of 6.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, well, I kind of have an idea what kind of a melody I might want to have, but boy, there's no construction or anything to it. That was the song I was telling you about earlier,
mm-hmm.
that I want to help actually turning into a real song.
Mm-hmm.
But Ella's giving me funny looks. We have Ella Sobel in the studio with us, and she's giving me strange looks because she's seen me write songs over the years. it's the truth. The fastest song I've ever written was actually took me 15 minutes to get all the lyrics down,
mm-hmm.
but it's always some form of a parody. But this one is all about Montreal's fast food delicacy, poutine.
Yes, there's a lot of talk about that now.
That was one of my favorites.
The topic is perfect.
But you're more of a romantic.
I'm a real romantic, yeah. Actually, my favorite kind of music is like the James Bond songs.
Like
very soundtrack. Most of my music is very soundtracky.
Yes.
And it's romantic. And my dream in life is always to write and sing a song for the James Bond themes, because that's my, I just adore all that orchestral sound, So that's my style that I'm going into more now.
You can hear that, with the echoes in the background in some of your songs, particularly in Eyes of a Stranger, that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, now, where do you get your inspiration for some of the more romantic songs? I mean, it is all about feeling, and half the time,
mm-hmm.
here we are, you feel kind of normal or ordinary every day, and it's hard to get your heart in that place where you just want to pour your soul out to somebody.
I take my own life experiences and I sort of mix them around with other things that my friends are going through.
Sure.
And so I just kind of mix it all together and And some actually, some of my better songs are actually the more personal songs, and the other ones are, you know, more a mixture of everyone else.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was after. I mean, the personal ones where you have somebody in particular in mind when you're getting
Or sometimes it's not even that I have someone in mind. It's more of a, like a longing for,
okay.
a longing to find a love, and it's sort of comes more naturally that way.
Okay, so something where you were alone and you wanted sort of love generally, or was mm-hmm. there anybody specific that inspired you, perhaps?
Well, sometimes it's both. Sometimes someone may have inspired me, or sometimes it's I'm just in that kind of mood. I tend to like just sort of play the piano a little bit, and
right.
then the mood will come to me, and depending on what key I'm writing in, mm-hmm. what key I'm playing on the piano, so. If it's more of a like a minor tone, it'll be more of a sad song. Or if I'm in a sad mood, the song is going to come out more sad. It all depends on that mood that I am.
That's the musicianship of it. That's where that whole technical quality comes in, because there are times and there are tunes that I hear that just convey that perfectly melancholy feeling. You're not out and out sad, but there's just that little tinge in the air that kind of grabs you and goes, oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking songwriter talk here. Ella knows, of course, exactly what I'm talking about because she's very, very motivated and moved by music as well in her own personal life and in her musical taste. But the thing is, you know, we often talk about these things. That's what I'm thinking about is the different inspirations. Like, I'll have a tune swimming around in my head, but half the time you'll be sitting there thinking about either somebody in particular or something that you wish you had, and then it'll just come out.
That's it. You just kind of flow with how you're feeling at the moment. And sometimes when you're playing around with melodies on the piano, the lyrics will come right away. I tend to write both at the same time, the music and the lyrics, really quickly together.
Okay.
So I kind of flow it with the way that the music is going, like the key that I'm in.
So sometimes it suggests its own tune to you.
Pardon me?
So sometimes the lyrics will suggest their own
tune. Oh, yes. Actually, almost always. I tend to try to write the hook first, the chorus, because that's usually supposed to be the strongest part of the song. So I try to do that first, and then I write backwards and write my lyrics after that.
Okay, well, that gives a good starting point, because then you start from the music and you put that in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Elton John and Bernie Taupin. I mean, Bernie would write, you know, would write a poem,
mm-hmm.
and Elton John would write music that he felt would go with that. So that was the effective songwriting team. Now what role does Kathy play in your musical production?
Kathy, my sister, is always traveling with me. We mm-hmm. travel together all the time. And also, when I'm in the studio, she'll give me good advice because she knows how I should be singing, because she knows the good side of me and the bad side of me of when I can, you know, sound my best. And, like, we're best friends, so we always go everywhere together. And she also helps to promote me on the Internet, too. We both do that.
Oh, yeah, she's very active with the promotion. I do see that. And
well,
that's something, listen, I can't do without either. I mean, you've got Stephen Bickford and I who've been doing Travel World for, I mean, well beyond the years that we've been on the radio, and so that goes back almost 35 years
with
the collaboration that we've been doing.
That's amazing.
Stephen is an incredibly good publicist.
Oh, I can imagine, yes. I see you guys on Facebook, too, and I think you're just fabulous.
Yeah, and you know, if you've seen Linda, of course, too, I mean, she's brought new life to our website. So.
Oh, fabulous. Yes, the website is beautiful.
Well, that would be Linda's work, and that's something you can thank her for on Facebook
as well.
She's
very talented. You're very talented, Linda.
But especially the thing is, Steve and I put this together. We realized, and this is where I'm thinking about between you and Kathy, how the best work that we've ever done is stuff we've done as a team. So that's kind of interesting. Hopefully one day you'll make a song about Travel World, and that would be something.
Yes, you never know.
I think we'd be very honored by something like that.
A romantic song about Travel World. Oh, my heart is all aflutter.
Please
It'll come
pass
out
the
romantic.
Butter.
It'll be a romantic travel song.
Well,
but that's nice.
You know, the actually, when you mention that kind of thing, there was a an Australian group called The Other Ones, and they did a song called Holiday.
Oh.
The original Travel World theme from back in 1998 was Holiday by The Other Ones.
Oh,
and it had that while it was a poppy fun song, it had that kind of romantic aspect to it.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
If you check out the older clips, they're online at twc.ca.
I'll definitely check them out. Wonderful.
Cheryl, we are reaching the end of our segment, but we would love to have you on another time.
Oh, I'd be honored to be on again.
Great. And hopefully you might be able to hum a bar or two of the Travel World romantic songs.
That'd be great, too.
Cheryl and I, country music singing sensation from Montreal, online with us at Travel World. I'm Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford in the studio. Thank you for joining us, Cheryl. We love having you on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I think you guys are great.
Thank you very much.
Stay tuned, everybody. Travel World Radio Show coming up after this break.
Travel World will continue. Stay listening. Travel World Radio by satellite.
Today we acted like a 5-year-old with our 5-year-old. Boarded the Titanic and lived to tell about it.
Yes, yay!
Oh, yeah.
Rode 5 rides and had 100 laughs. What all will you do? The center of fun in the Smokies is a small town called Pigeon Forge, where families come together. Visit mypigeonforge.com to learn more.
Fly with Porter, and everything just seems closer. It starts with our city center airport, just a hop, skip, and jump away from downtown Toronto. Our Toronto City Airport is compact and modern, so there's no jostling as you breeze through check-in. And a comfortable chair is never far away. In fact, you could say the journey is close to perfect. Wherever you're going, just got closer.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks, and maps. Plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks, and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Loose Sport Sack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's travel accessory center, 66 Laurier West, between Clark and Cedar Van. Telephone 271-5058.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics Program. 1-888-813-7974.
Back to sports probably means back to school or even back to pain. While school may not be an option, living with back pain is. Langley Chiropractic North and South realizes that you are in pain and that you want attention now. Call or walk in to either location when you experience any discomfort due to grinding it out on the practice field or simply performing everyday tasks that cause back pain. Visit Langley Chiropractic at either of their two Muncie locations, 2010 East 9th Street or 2991 North Oakwood.
Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
across America via satellite. This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite and around the world by the internet. I'm Willem Backus in studio with Stephen Pickford. We got a special guest online with us, Steve.
Yes, we're now joined by Andy Newman. He served as the Media Relations Director for the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council for more than 30 years. And he's going to join us now on Travel World Radio to let us know a bit more about the Florida Keys, give us an overview as to the regions that comprise the Florida Keys, not just one part of them, but there's a very distinctive part of the Florida Keys, each with its own attributes and interests and target markets. Welcome to Travel World, Andy.
Thank you very much for having me. I got to tell you, I'm actually in Toronto this evening, and I'll tell you that it's a bit chillier up here than it is in the fabulous Florida Keys.
Well, that is why our listeners in the Northeast are preparing for a storm to hit part of the Northeast and Central East regions tomorrow. Looking forward to getting away to a fun-filled and warmer destination like the Florida Keys.
Absolutely.
So there's more than one part. People think Key West, but that Key West isn't the only part of the Florida Keys.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Let's sort of paint the picture here. First of all, the Florida Keys are a chain of islands, and they begin just to the south of Miami. And so they start with Key Largo and then move down to Alamorada and Marathon, Big Pine in the lower Keys, and then finally Key West. And they actually make that curve, and so Key West is actually southwest of Miami, and each area has its own, its own specialty. Of course, you can fish, you can dive, and you can obviously enjoy the sun and all types of water sports in all the Keys. But Key Largo, the first of the Keys, is indeed known as the dive capital of the world and also of the Florida Keys. Great for learning to scuba dive or snorkeling. It is home to John Pennekamp Coral Reef State Park, the very first underwater marine preserve in the U.S., recently celebrated its 51st birthday, by the way. As you move down to Alamorada, and Alamorada is the sport fishing capital of the Florida Keys and sport fishing capital of the world. In fact, according to the International Game Fish Association, more world records have been established in the Florida Keys for saltwater environments when you compare it to any other destination on the globe. Marathon is a great spot if you're interested in visiting all of the Florida Keys. You can stay in Marathon and either go up to Key Largo, Alamorada, head down to the lower Keys and the Key West. And no point in the Florida Keys is more than about, an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half drive from the Marathon area. By the way, Marathon also has two different venues that provides opportunities for our visitors to swim and to interact and learn about dolphins. We're talking, of course, about the marine mammals. As you continue moving down, you hit Big Pine in the Lower Keys area. Big nature area, several different wildlife refuges in the Lower Keys area, a wonderful state park called Bahia Honda State Park that was once voted by Dr. Beach, Stephen Leatherman, as one of the top 10 beaches in the United States. And then, of course, as you move further down, you finally hit Key West, and Key West is the southernmost city, not only in the continental United States, but actually the southernmost city in the continental North America. And Key West has a tremendous amount of history. Many, many authors live in Key West, and perhaps none more famous than Ernest Hemingway. And Hemingway lived in Key West throughout the 1930s. And every July, there is a festival, the Hemingway Days Festival, that pays homage to Hemingway, not only for his literary prowess, but also for his fun-loving Key West lifestyle. And that Hemingway Days Festival, by the way, this year is set for July 16th to the 21st. And, you know, a lot of great events, including a short story competition, but perhaps the most famous is the annual Hemingway Lookalike Contest.
And that brings people in right across, not just from the United States, but from around the world. People want to walk in his footsteps as well and sort of take in a day or two in the life of Hemingway.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that Hemingway Days Festival and the Hemingway Lookalike Contest is that once a year, you can go to Key West for 4 or 5 days, and seemingly as you walk down Duval Street, everywhere you turn, you see Papa Hemingway, because the festival and the contest attract anywhere between 125 and 140 Papa Hemingway wannabes, and a number of these contestants, and you're absolutely right, they do come from around the world, and a number of them actually have competed for 10, 15, 20 years, still trying to achieve that coveted title.
Well, that's sort of part of the whole atmosphere, particularly of Key West, but that personifies all of the Keys with their distinctiveness, is that people go there, there's a lot big return traveler factor, and people, it's on one of the wish lists. People say, when I mentioned that I'm going to talk about the Florida Keys, first thing that comes to mind, of course, is Key West, secondly, fishing, and they say that is a place that I've always wanted to go.
Well, you know something? Number one reason why people come to the Keys is the laid-back atmosphere. But it really is a very diversified destination. It is much, much different than the remainder of Florida. It truly is more of the Caribbean than it is the U.S. And the opportunity to drive down the overseas highway, the Florida Keys overseas highway, and you know what? It's almost like cruising in your car. A lot of folks ask me about, you know, going to the Keys and wondering about, you know, best way to get there. Well, you know, number one, you can certainly fly from a number of different U.S. airports directly into Key West. For instance, over the next couple of weeks, you can actually have their flights in from LaGuardia and from Washington Reagan, but also out of Atlanta and a number of other Florida airports. We have brand new service starting from New Orleans, by the way, coming up on Saturday in the Key West. But I'll tell you something. I think you really miss a lot if you don't at least drive one way on that Florida Keys Overseas Highway. So my recommendation is, you know, something, if you have the time, you know, please fly into Fort Lauderdale, fly into Miami, and make that drive down the Overseas Highway and then return up the Keys Overseas Highway. If you're sort of strapped for some time, at least try to fly in to Lauderdale or Miami and make the drive one way, and you can always fly out of Key West.
How long does that drive take?
It's about 3.5 hours if you drive straight through. But I tell you something, you really want to allow some time, and you want to give it, you know, a real nice, comfortable time period for a Keys trip. In my opinion, is anywhere from 5 to 7 days, and you know, you really want to try to do either Key Largo, Alamorada, or a marathon, and then so stay up there for a couple of days, and then go ahead and you want to definitely stay in the Key West for several days too.
Now, where can people get more information, a toll-free number, a website, so they
can learn more? Absolutely. Much more information is on the Florida Keys website. It's flakeys.com. Again, flakeys.com. And we have toll-free number that's good for in the U.S. and Canada. It's 1-800-FLA-KEYS.
flakeys.com for all the information. And it's a very good suggestion is to combine more than one Florida Keys destination, Key West, which we've all heard of, but get a different perspective and take in Key Largo or Alamorada, Marathon, Big Pine Key, the Lower Keys. There's just so much more to see and do and get that whole different side experience, different side of Florida than one might have come to experience on past visits. Get that side trip, spend a few days when you're in the Fort Lauderdale or Miami area and come down to visit the Florida Keys.
So the music has started, Steve. That means we got about 30 seconds left. Andy, any parting thoughts such as setting up a remote broadcast for Travel World in Key West?
You want, listen, we're ready to have you come down, so you just give us a call, and you're always invited.
Well, done deal. We're definitely going to do that, because we've always needed to, you know, we've done live broadcasts from Hawaii, we've done live broadcasts from Jamaica, we got to do it from Key West.
Well, and not only that, but you must do the live broadcast from the Conch Republic.
Well, you know what? You're on. We're going to be in touch following the show. Thank you for joining us, Andy. This is Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford, Travel World Radio Show, across America via satellite.
Happy traveling, everyone.
This is the Travel World Radio Network. The Travel World Radio Show is produced in Montreal, Canada, on the Travel World Radio Network. For advertising or affiliation information, please visit our website at www.travelworldradio.com or call us at 514-861-3488.